The business originally was around microphones, headsets, a variety of different audio products. The beauty of it, and just thinking about, you know, your focus, Tim, and your audience, the beauty of it is that it's, well, designed initially for students that had hearing challenges. I think what we found over time is it benefits all students in the classroom.
Hey friends, welcome back to Think Inclusive, real conversations about building school where every learner belongs. I'm your host, Tim Villegas. Today's episode is about something we don't always think about when we talk about inclusion, the sound of the classroom itself. How the way students hear or don't hear instruction can shape attention, confidence, and access. We dig into what it means to create learning spaces where every child can understand what's being said without strain, and why that matters for behavior, belonging, and equity. Our guest today is David Solomon from Lightspeed Technologies, a company that focuses on instructional audio systems designed for real classrooms that real humans learn in. Little humans. Usually. We talk about how better sound changes the way teachers communicate, how it supports learners who may have undetected hearing differences or struggle with focus, and why improving the listening environment can prevent kids from being misidentified or missing out socially. David also shares how these systems can boost student confidence, especially when they use the student mic to let their voices be heard. And as a fun side note, you'll hear how David had to learn the art of sharing food after growing up in a very competitive household. Before we meet our guest, I want to tell you about our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by IXL. IXL is an all-in-one platform for K-12 that helps boost student achievement, empowers teachers, and tracks progress in one place. As students practice, IXL adapts to their individual needs so that every learner gets just right support and challenge, and each student gets a personalized learning plan to close gaps. Check it out at IXL.com/inclusive. Again, that's IXL.com/inclusive. All right, after a quick break, it's time to think inclusive with David Solomon. Catch you on the other side.
David Solomon, welcome to the Think Inclusive podcast. David, let's start out with just telling us a little bit about your journey with your company, Lightspeed Technologies. What inspired you to focus on instructional audio solutions? And even that term, maybe unpack for us a little bit.
Okay. Well, I've been with Lightspeed for 20 years. So this is a very well-established company. I am not the founder or originator, so it wasn't me who said, oh, let's do instructional audio. And I can talk a little bit about what that is. But our founder, Jerry Ramey, the business originally was around microphones, headsets, a variety of different audio products. But he started running into technology people and audiologists in school districts that were trying to put together systems to improve the listening environment for their students. And when he saw that, I think he just got the passion. It's like, wow, I can do what I do best, and I can do it for something that makes a big difference for students. And so that's where it happened. And what we're talking about is the teacher wearing a small microphone. The microphone is paired with some very specific speakers or speaker that fills the room with a very low volume, highly intelligible sound, so every student can hear every word. And on top of that, the teacher can teach in a normal, nurturing voice. You know, you don't have to use that big teacher voice to shout over anybody. And the beauty of it, and just thinking about, you know, your focus, Tim, and your audience, the beauty of it is that it's, well, designed initially for students that had hearing challenges. I think what we found over time is it benefits all students in the classroom, right? So you're not singling anybody out, you're not calling up any differences, and you're actually providing a benefit that reaches every child and the teacher for, you know, pretty small investment.
What I love about what you just said is when you think about an environment and you are designing for somebody with like a difference, like a learning difference, or maybe a physical disability, when you're designing the environment for so that you can provide access for that particular student, it benefits everyone. And we see that parallel over and over and over again. It just doesn't even matter what the context is anymore. And so you have this solution, right, that is meant to create access, but really it's enriching the educational environment for all learners. So that is fantastic.
Yeah, you know, and it's this is one of these topics when you said, okay, physical disability, learning differences, there's so much going on in a classroom of 25 to 30 students, right? You have students that they may have attention deficit disorder. They may have a mild hearing loss that no one's detected, particularly in those younger years where, you know, they could have infections. They could just have issues around their growth, right? Things are changing inside your auditory processing. And so you who can you say has a problem right now, especially in, let's say, first, second, third grade? It's like, you don't know. They could be having a problem. The teacher doesn't know it. This is a solution that just, you know, smooths over all those issues.
I'm wondering, I know you said you aren't necessarily the founder, but you have been with this organization for a long time. What got you into this role?
I was looking to transition to a different role, a different company. And when I met Lightspeed, I have to admit, My biggest attraction to it was not the product. My biggest attraction was the attitude of the company and the values that they established, the strong purpose to serve education, and just the way they went about doing things. And I thought, this is a company I really want to work for. And at that time, it was pretty small and early stage, but it gave me the opportunity to help build something special. Not just in a product, but also, you know, not just what you do, but how you do it. And so I think that initially was the big attraction. But I will tell you, the moment when I said I am in the right job, I went to a conference at in New York, and we gave a workshop to talk about our product and what it did. And this was the first time I had been to a conference, so I was really early in with the company. And I said, hey, maybe we should give away a system, do a drawing, something like that. So we do a drawing, and this teacher wins it, and she comes up to me crying. She gave me a big hug, and she said, I have been trying to get a system like this for 2 years, and we just haven't had the budget for it. I was afraid I was going to have to quit teaching because of nodules on my vocal cord. And this is a product that saves me, and now I can continue teaching. And I thought right then and there, it's like, I'm done. I'm hooked forever. If we can do something like that for this teacher, what can we do for everybody who touches our product? And that made a big impression on me.
What a fantastic story. And I like the kind of the flip, because, you know, we were just talking about how it benefits students, right? But in your particular story, it is benefiting students, but the relief that teacher received from being able to use this because they were struggling, you know, with their own voice. It's so beautiful. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
As far as any particular stories of how it's benefited or impacted children, do you have any examples off the top of mind of how it's benefited children with that are hard of hearing or deaf?
Yeah. Well, the one that comes to mind, we got an email from some parents that were telling us about their daughter. And when she went to first grade, something changed. She became lethargic. She lost interest in all the things that, you know, she loved, like horses and drawing, and she wasn't making friends in first grade. Like, this was, it was a problem. Like, there was a real change in this girl, and the school was starting to, you know, direct her down a path of some type of special education. I was like, and her parents were like, that can't be. What happened? You know, this, well, she gets to second grade and it's a totally different story. She's got energy. She's making friends. She's excited about everything. And they finally just asked her, it's like, well, what is changing? And she said, I can hear the teacher. And the difference was when she got to second grade, she had one of our instructional audio systems in the classroom. In first grade, she was so exhausted from the stress of trying to hear what was going on in the classroom, and her hearing loss had not been identified because she was, you know, functional as a child. It wasn't noticed. And once she was exposed to a classroom with this system, everything changed for her. And those are, I mean, that's just such a simple thing, but you can see how it got missed. And you could also see how they could diagnose this child and send this child down a wrong path, the path that would not be the best for them. And here, it was just a matter of improving that listening environment, and it just turned everything around for her.
Are the clients that you have, are they mostly school districts, or are there other applications with your product and service?
You know, there may be other applications, but 95% of our sales are all into schools. Anything out that doesn't go into schools is opportunistic. Somebody called us, and we just don't do any marketing or sales outside of schools and education.
Gotcha.
I think that helps us, you know, really focus on product development. It keeps us on purpose. And I think that, you know, we can, instead of being many things to one thing to many people, we can be one thing to a particular group,
and
we
sure.
can focus on that.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then in the example that you just gave, there was an instance where a classroom had the system and one class that didn't have the system. So is it usually, you know, one or two classrooms per grade level that have a system, or sometimes do school districts incorporate the systems throughout the whole district?
It goes both ways. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of it's budget driven, but what we try to do is paint a picture where it's like, okay, if you want true equity, then this is something you want to have in every classroom. It's also something that can be, that fits very well into bond measures. So capital campaigns and things like that. And that allows you to do some long-term planning and say, okay, maybe bond one, we start with all the elementary schools. Bond two, we go to the middle schools and the high schools. There's a lot of different ways to prioritize that. And there are other places where there may be a elementary school where their foundation has decided this is an important tool for our school, and every year we're going to put systems in a classroom, and they try to build it up. So there's a lot of different ways to go about it. But, you know, I think the most effective way is for a, you know, executive level decision to put it throughout the whole school district.
Gotcha.
And then yeah. you can, you know, do the training and everything along with that.
After the break, David explains how instructional audio actually works in real classrooms. We get into the nuts and bolts, why clarity matters more than loudness, how simple tools can boost student confidence, and what happens when you design a learning environment that truly supports every learner. We also talk about the balance between keeping tech easy to use and still growing it in a smart, meaningful way. But first, a word from our sponsor. This episode is sponsored by Adaptiverse. If you're a special education teacher, you already know the time problem. Every week, educators spend 15 to 20 hours manually adapting curriculum, especially for students with complex communication needs. We're talking about non-speaking learners, AAC users, students with apraxia, or learning-based disabilities. Creating personalized materials, building visual supports, designing multiple expressive pathways for the same lesson, it's critical work. But it's exhausting, and it pulls teachers away from actually teaching. Adaptiverse changes that. Teachers simply describe what they're teaching and who they're teaching, and the platform generates grade-level academic lessons personalized to each student's needs with built-in scaffolding and multiple ways to demonstrate understanding. And these aren't watered-down worksheets. These are rigorous lessons that presume competence and increase engagement through personalization. Adaptiverse is built on 60-plus years of a combined education experience and is already being used to create more than 2,000 lessons in 35 states, with educators calling it life-saving and irreplaceable. If you're ready to get those hours back and focus on what matters most, visit adaptiverseapp.com to learn more.
I'd like to focus a little bit more on the actual system and what makes the system effective to enhance classroom communication and learning for the students. So can you describe a little bit, you know, about the system, what kind of features, what kind of things are available to an educator that has this kind of system?
Well, just preface it by saying that it's really simple. I mean, it's not simple to create, it's not simple to engineer, but it's very simple in its application. Okay. The teacher has a microphone. You put it in a charging station, and the next morning it's good and it lasts all day. It is tuned to very specific speakers. Like I said, to create a very low volume. So we don't want to make it loud. We want to focus on intelligibility versus audibility. I mean, audibility is like when you're on an airplane and you hear the speakers, it's like, wow, it's really loud, but I have no idea what they're saying.
Right.
So what we want to do is make it as quiet as we can, yet highly intelligible so that, you really do hear every word. And I think that's the magic from something you might just piece together or just put a speaker in the ceiling and try to find a Bluetooth microphone. We really focus on how do you get the most out of that sound. We have many different configurations, depends on your classroom, right? You could have a single speaker that covers the whole room. You could have multiple speakers. We have portable systems that, you may have a classroom where you just want to put it on a bookshelf. So there's a lot of different ways to implement it. And I think that one of the things that there's initially a little bit of disappointment when we talk to customers about it, because they ask about, well, what about professional development? So, well, that takes about 2 minutes. You put that on, you turn it on, and you use it.
And, right.
The real professional development, I think, is why do you use this? Like, why would I do this? I have a big teacher voice. I have command in my classroom. Why would I do this? And why to do it is because that yelling is not good for the teacher. It's not good for the students. And you also have students that the louder you go, I mean, it doesn't help. What we try to do is focus on that vocal range so that you really can hear what the teachers and students are saying. I think one of the tools that comes with the system is a student mic. And that, I've seen that in action. Let's say like a young child, maybe in like third grade, where the teacher calls on them to speak. They have that microphone. It's like there's a pin on their chin and they're just kind of mumbling. But once they see that their friends are hearing them, that confidence comes up, they can hear what's going on, and they're much more in control and less shy about the moment. So that student mic has been a powerful tool as well.
That's a really great point, because I can just remember being in the classroom myself and having students that don't have that confidence, right? Or that they don't have the volume that you'd want. And you're always being like, hey, can you say that again? I can't hear you. You know, right. And how just that little boost, right, would provide the confidence for that learner. So that's a really interesting visual that I'm having. So there has to have been some sort of like research and development, right, around why we have, you know, that vocal range, the number of speakers, and kind of the technology. Can you let us in a little bit on some of that research and development? Like, where did it come from? Like, how did this product really come to fruition?
Well, there's a study called the MARS study, and it's on our website at lightspeed-tek, and that was really about what are the benefits of putting this in place. And so I'd say that if somebody was going to do some research, it's like, just go to our website, and there's a lot of independent research that we had nothing to do with that says this is a technology that makes a difference. So it starts with that. We spend a lot of time in classrooms, unlike a lot of companies that sell physical products like ours. We do work through distribution and resellers, but we have, you know, our own salespeople all over the country, and they are working with teachers. They're in the classroom, and we draw a lot of learning out of that. It's like, what's going on? What things need to be changed or added, or where can we go with that? So I think number one, it's being in the classroom, but then we also invest in meeting with superintendents, tech directors, audiologists. We do a lot of focus groups where we show what we're thinking about and get feedback and, you know, apply that in. So it's a never ending process, right? You're always learning.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you said that you have, do you have people that sell directly to districts, that work for you, and then as opposed to having resellers, right?
Yeah, well, we do business anyway a school district would want to do business, because a lot of times they have a lot of trust in a local reseller, and we would absolutely work through them. But we do sell directly to school districts, and our goal is not who does the school district buy from, but is, does a school district really understand the value that we're able to provide? And then do we understand what they need? So it's really important for us to be there firsthand and have those relationships.
I want to ask about conferences, because for those that are listening, I think I've wanted to have David on the podcast for months and months, and it's finally, finally happening. But something that we had talked about is this technology in a conference application for professional learning. And so I'm wondering, is, you may not be, selling these to school districts, or you may be in this application, but I'm wondering, can you tell us if that is something that this technology is utilized for?
Yeah. I mean, one of the ways that we do that is, you mentioned conferences. This is probably what we were talking about, is, one of the services that we provide to the education world is, for many conferences, we will provide systems that we set up in their workshop rooms. So the presenters can, we show them, we put the microphone on, we show it how it works. They tell us they don't like hearing their voice. They try it. They realize they won't hear their voice. We go through all that in about 30 seconds and get them up and running. But the audiences really appreciate it. there are, you know, especially adults, our hearing starts to fade over time. And, you know, it's, these rooms are not acoustic. These rooms in these conference centers are usually not acoustically perfect. And so putting our system in there really makes a nice difference. And there are schools that use it for that as well. You know, maybe in, boardrooms and things like that, where we can, you know, put in systems for them. Also, physical education is a place
where
they really need it. Right. And we have systems specifically designed for that.
Yeah. I remember taking my students into our physical education gym, and gyms are notorious for having awful sound, awful acoustics.
Yep.
Yes. Yes. And usually what ends up happening is that the teacher will have to turn it up so loud that it ends up echoing. Sounds, you know, it's just so bad.
That's it. So we can do that.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. What kind of feedback do you get from educators when they use the system? Is there like, are you like constantly trying to improve upon it, or is it, you know, the, like, how does that work as far as future iterations of this technology?
Yeah, we absolutely, listen. I think, you know, we're always trying to refine, like, how do we make it better? But then we're also looking at a balance of capabilities that people might want versus making it too complex. You know, so it's like, let's stay on the main purpose, which is delivering this great, you know, audio and creating a good listening environment. But we have also done some things that, you know, I think expand the capability, maybe outside of the topic we have today. But we have designed our microphone now so that there is a button on there for an emergency, right? So what's the most valuable piece of real estate in the school? It's the teacher, right? They are walking around, they are there. If there's a problem, you want that teacher to be able to communicate directly with the office. So we started with, okay, well, here's an emergency button. Well, okay, that's great. Now we know there's an emergency, we don't know what the problem is. So the next thing we did was add the capability to open up a two-way conversation. So the teacher not only can notify of an emergency, but then they can immediately use the microphone to contact the office and explain what the emergency is. So we've added some additional capability there, but it doesn't take away from it being an instructional device. It just gives it all that much more value for the school as a whole.
Yeah, I can definitely see really great applications to that.
I think one other thing, you know, when you were talking about examples that I, you know, as I was thinking about it, I think there's one other area which is really important is English language learners. So imagine, I had a principal talk to me one time about what he called the cone of silence. He said, when they get students that come in, maybe their first time in an English speaking classroom, and they do everything they can to disappear. Like, I'm going to hide. I do not want anybody to see me. I don't want to get called on. And he calls it this year of silence. And how do we get them out of that year of silence? Well, part of it is making sure that they are hearing everything that the teacher is saying. And our system absolutely improves that. And there's, you know, there's another one where there's research. It's like, you put these systems in, your English language learners progress much faster. So that is another area that I'm really proud of the difference that we make.
Oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And just having the comfortability of having a system like this for an English language learner. So really appreciate that example. I did not realize, but y'all have a podcast.
Yes, we do.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, the Active Listener Podcast. Dominique is our host. She's fantastic. It's been fun because, you know, so much of our marketing and everything we do is obviously trying to promote our message and trying to get our story out. The Active Listener podcast is a little different because we're interested in talking to anybody who has something worth sharing about education. And so we cover a wide range of topics. Certainly we talk about audio, but we've also covered learning spaces, how to create an active learning environment. We've had some people that are experts on that subject. We've had experts on innovation. We've had people come in and talk about culture and leadership. So just a wide variety of topics. There's so many smart, interesting people in education. And so we decided that this is just a great area for us to have fun and meet some very interesting, exceptional people who have something worth sharing.
I love it. I love it. I'm glad. I'm always excited to know about new podcasts or new to me podcasts anyways. and we love podcasters around here. So thank you for sharing about that. As we are wrapping up our conversation, any advice to educators or school administrators who are looking into implementing instructional audio tech, to foster inclusive, to foster an inclusive environment?
Yeah, I think for those decision makers, one of the things that they are always faced with, I mean, it never stops, is the budget pressure that they are under. Like, what do I do and what do I not do? And oftentimes they're faced with having to let something go. And they say, well, I got to have laptops. I got to have a projector or a screen. There's just certain things that they think I have to have. Well, instructional audio is one of those things that I feel fits into that. And it is, probably the most researched technology for education in terms of the benefits. It is low cost in that you make a one-time investment and you get years of value out of it across many, many, many students. And I think sometimes when they're looking across all the technology, it's like, well, it's the least sexy thing. And they think maybe we can do without that. We haven't had that for decades. And it's like, yeah, and your students have been suffering for decades. Mm. If this is something that, you know, you can bring in and prioritize, it's going to have an immediate impact without any professional development. And, you know, you'll see the difference by the end of the year in your performance. It's high impact.
As we wrap up this conversation, we've talked about how clear sound can change a classroom from helping students focus to giving quieter kids the confidence to speak up, and even making things easier for teachers. Now we're switching gears with the mystery question that takes us somewhere a little more personal and a lot more fun.
Fantastic, David. Really appreciate you taking time to speak with me. Can you stay on a little bit longer for a mystery question?
Of course.
Okay, so mystery question, if you don't know, I end each conversation with a mystery question, and I have a stack of cards here of just random prompts, and I will pick a card, and then we'll both answer the question.
Okay.
All right, so here we go. I just have a few left. All right, here we go. This is, what is something you don't mind sharing with other people? And so that is and we can take it however you want. So what is something you don't mind sharing with other people?
Okay.
So how do I want to take this? Cause you could say, you know, don't mind sharing a part of your life story or something like that. Or it could be something like a piece of cake or something like that, you know? Yeah. Huh.
While you're thinking about that, I'll tell you what I have learned to share, which I grew up not wanting to share, but being in business and socializing and entertaining, you've had to learn. I don't like sharing my food. I grew up with two brothers and a sister, all pretty close in age, and food was precious. Like, you didn't share. And there are so many people that when you go out to a dinner or something, they want to share. I've had to learn that sharing my food is a part of the overall entertainment experience.
That is really funny. Yes, I get that. And I'm thinking of when we've gone out as a team, there's particular members that I'm thinking of that want to try everything, right?
Yeah.
So, which is fine. Absolutely.
Yeah, you got to roll with it.
Yeah, exactly. I would say I'm going to go with food as well. But I like to cook. I'm like the main cook or chef in the family. It's not that I even don't mind it. I really enjoy sharing cooking with like guests. I make this dish, this chicken mole dish, around the holidays. It's something I think I make it once a year. So it's, it's kind of like it's a lot of work. There's a lot of ingredients and I've refined it over the years, you know, but it's one of my favorite things to do. It's like we have everyone over. And I'm cooking for like 3 or 4 hours in the kitchen and then I'm all done and I get to share it with everyone. And, it's so fulfilling to like have people eat your food and enjoy it. It really is.
I love it. Yeah. That's a really good one. I'm thinking about the question, like things you don't mind sharing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Versus things I love sharing.
Okay.
Something I don't mind sharing, and I actually get a little satisfaction of it. I have two adult sons, 30 and 28. And as they became men, you know, and growing and their taste change, all of a sudden they got interested in my clothes. And so I don't mind sharing my clothes with them. They can borrow the jackets, the ties, whatever. And I actually get some kind of satisfaction out of that because I think for so many years, they shunned anything that dad liked. So.
Yeah, I get that. Oh, that's great. That's great. Awesome. Thank you so much for enjoying the mystery question with me. Really appreciate it. Okay, I'm going to sign us off, but don't go anywhere.
Okay. Thank you, Tim.
David Solomon, thank you so much for being on the Think Inclusive podcast. I appreciate your time, your stories, and the wonderful technology you bring to education.
Thank you. I really appreciate it, and I thoroughly enjoyed our time together.
That was David Solomon. Here's what I'm taking away from our conversation. Inclusion is also about sound. When every student can easily hear and be heard, attention goes up, stress goes down, and belonging grows. I also loved how a simple student mic can bring quiet voices into the community and how protecting teacher voices matters too. This is the kind of proactive design MCIE is all about. Remove barriers up front, plan for learner variability, and make access the norm in general education, not just an add-on for a few. Here's a practical step for educators. Do a 10-minute listening walkthrough in a classroom. Sit in a couple of student seats and jot down what you can and can't hear. Then make one change tomorrow to improve clarity. Face the class when speaking, repeat student comments, or try a pass around mic. Share this episode with a colleague who's building inclusive schools. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and follow Think Inclusive wherever you get your podcast. Shout out to everyone facing the massive winter storm that's happening this weekend. Whenever you listen or watch this episode, I hope you are safe, warm, dry, and doing something very cozy. Do you have a favorite cozy winter activity? I'd love to know about it. You can always email me at tvagus@mcie.org. Now let's roll the credits. Think Inclusive is created by me, Tim Viegas. I write, edit, mix, and master the show. I basically wear all the podcast hats and the baseball caps. We're a proud production of the Maryland Coalition for Inclusive Education, scheduling and extra production help from Jill Wagoner. Original music by Miles Kredich with extra vibes from Melody. Big thanks to our sponsors, IXL and Adaptiverse. Visit IXL.com/inclusive and AdaptiverseApp.com. Fun fact, for a long time, helping students hear better mostly meant simple moves like speaking up or shifting someone closer to the front. But once wearable mics and classroom sound systems started to show up, the whole idea of good listening changed. Early FM systems in the 70s sent a teacher's voice straight to a student's hearing aid. And today, that's evolved into the kind of sound field speakers that David talked about. Tools that make the whole room easier to hear, not just for students with hearing differences, but for everyone. Have you used any kinds of the technology that we mentioned in this episode? Email me at tvagus@mcie.org. I read every single message. And if you made it this far, you're officially part of the Think Inclusive Inclusion crew. Want to help us keep moving the needle forward for inclusion? Head to mcie.org and click the donate button. Give $5, $10, $20. It helps us keep partnering with schools and districts to move inclusive practices forward and support educators doing the work. Find us on the socials almost everywhere at Think Inclusive. Thanks for hanging out. And remember, inclusion always works.
From MCIE.
Podcast roll. Welcome in.